Hi guys, thanks for joining us in our second episode of our podcast. We hope that you have watched our first episode and that you would love to continue watching our podcast, and that's why you've joined us here for our second one. We can introduce ourselves again really quick. So my name is Andrea, my pronouns are she, her, hers.
I'm Jonathan, my pronouns are he, him, and his.
I'm Andy, I use she, her pronouns.
Make sure that you subscribe to our podcast and also subscribe to a new show that we're putting out called Behind the Food, where we basically are featuring people cooking foods that are cultural to them and explaining the meaning as to why this food is important to them. Okay, so our topic here today is dating multiracial in relationships or dating interracial relationships. So we'll be talking about multi-identities, experiences that we have. So I guess we can introduce ourselves and our partners that we have, just so people kind of like have a sense.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Andrea again. I'm Romanian, and my partner's name is Subret. He's Nepali, and we've been dating for almost 3 years at the end of this month.
Nice. Nice.
Just a little reminder.
So my partner's name is Faith, and she's Filipino. We've just recently made a whole year together, so
congratulations.
my partner's name Dakota. At the time, we've been dating for 5 years. Yeah, 5 years.
Damn, that's a long time.
Yep.
When was your guys' anniversary?
Ours. Oh shit. It's either November 7th or 4th.
Okay.
Nice. Okay, cool.
It's like that was still pretty recent too.
Yeah.
You just hit 5 years. Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like it's like 20% of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's known me since I was 16, and I definitely wouldn't have dated 16-year-old me, so.
Props to him.
Oh, shoot. And he's white. I don't know if I said that earlier.
No, that's fine. Okay. So we'll get started with some questions. Our first question is, do you speak your partner's language?
It's a little bit different, I guess, with this. Well, since we're both Filipino, I guess we can't really relate to being multiracial. But it is interesting because I guess me being born and raised in Hawaii, we have such a huge Filipino population and community. And so a lot of like the Filipino culture, the language is preserved. And so when I did grow up, my mom and dad both speak Ilocano, which is a dialect of the Philippines. And so I grew up with the language, and I was able to get some of it. And same with like all the aunties and uncles that and my friend's parents also, mm-hmm. like I grew up with, they all speak the same language. So I did get to like learn the language and everything, while Faith, being born and raised in Oregon, she didn't really get to practice learning her dialect in Filipino as much, and so she actually really doesn't know how to speak or understand any type of Filipino dialect. So yeah, it's a weird reversal, but other than English that she does speak, so yeah.
For my partner and I, he doesn't speak Romanian, I don't speak Nepali.
Mm-hmm.
His family speaks two different, I think his parents know three different languages. I think two of them are different dialects, but his parents speak Hindi and Nepali. Oh. But he doesn't speak Hindi. He only understands a little bit of Hindi,
mm-hmm.
and he speaks Nepali. We don't speak each other's languages, but we've been teaching each other like phrases and stuff.
Oh, cool.
So sometimes when he talks, especially when he does this more than I do this, I want to do this more, but he'll say lots of phrases to me like, why, what do you mean, what, like, stop that, you're being ridiculous, things like that. This kind of gives you an idea of our relationship. But yeah, he'll say little phrases to me from time to time, and if I forget it, I'll ask him just to like remind me and stuff. But I think it's helpful to kind of remind me like, oh, like this is what this means, and I don't know, it makes me feel a little more connected to him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't speak Vietnamese, so there's nothing for like Dakota to really learn, but I got real defensive when he like tried to get Vietnamese on Duolingo, and I'm like, I'm like, you're not out here trying to like upbring, like, you're not trying to get better than me. So we both speak English.
He's trying to help you by getting Duolingo. He's like, oh, Andy, I can teach you a little Vietnamese and you can practice with me.
Oh my God, I would hate it. My mom would be so proud. I can like understand most of like kind of what's going on with Vietnamese, mostly like with food items and things are going on, or like when someone's mad in my family, but like, it's kind of weird because when Dakota met like my my mom's side of the family, they all just kind of like walked up to him and they're just like, what do you do? Okay, good. And then they just left him alone for like the rest of the night. But
that's how it is.
Yeah. Okay, second question is, which food from their culture is your favorite?
It's actually really funny. I also don't eat spicy food, and then like Dakota loves spicy food, so they always like bring out the dish thinking it's like for me. So like, but it's actually his. I guess like I don't know what his favorite meal is. He kind of just loves all Vietnamese food. He's been very like he'll try anything once. So
I guess for me, I haven't had a lot of Nepali food, but also there's a lot of Nepali food that's crossover with Indian food. I really do like momo, which is a kind of dumpling that's steamed. It's also his favorite dish. But there's also, I don't remember what it's called. It's those little brown, like, triangle pyramid things that are, like, fried, and they're served with, like, a green sauce. It starts with an S, if you remember what they're called. I can't remember what they're called, but they're really good. And I don't know what the filling is inside. Samosas? I think they're called samosas, yeah. Those are really good, really too. And it's vegetarian, I think. It doesn't have meat inside of it.
Is this some like Nepali or dish? Or?
It's Nepali people eat it too, but it's technically Indian. Because Nepal and India are right next to each other, so they have lots of influence. There's another drink that Nepali people drink. But it's Indian, mango lassi, and it's really good. It's basically like a mango smoothie, but it's so much better than like any smoothie you've ever tasted. But yeah, I don't have that much experience with a lot of Nepali food. There's another Nepali food. Oh, I don't remember what this is called either. It starts with an R, but it's basically yogurt with cucumber and some other like spice, I think, inside of it, and it's really good. It's like refreshing, but yeah.
Are all of these foods like you tried like in restaurants you've gone with him, or does like his family make these foods?
So he's actually made me momo when he came.
Oh, okay, cool.
And he had his mom make it one time, so like she prepared the meat and everything, and then we just cooked it when he came here. It was better than the way that he made it, but
for me, again, I'm the odd one out here because it's the same. But I guess in terms of like, I guess it's more of like me. I love to cook a lot also, especially since I can't enjoy a lot of the Filipino dishes I used to back at home here. And so I've been learning how to cook them and make them myself so I can enjoy them here. And like, there's a couple of dishes where she's not used to also, because a lot of them are like Ilocano food too. For Ilocanos though, we have this dish called dinakdakan, which is, it's kind of like grilled pork. So it's like chopped up pork belly and just cuts of pork. But the twist is we add pork brain mixed into it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, like it sounds gross, but it has like this really distinct flavor. Like, it's very creamy. People sometimes when they make it, they substitute it with like mayonnaise instead because the pork brain's too much. But I like it, but that kind of stuff grosses her. I like the foods that she's not used to.
Right.
Yeah. So, so I've been trying to feed her those kinds of foods just so that she tries them.
Used to it.
Yeah, and just to make fun of her a little bit. But yeah.
Third question: do people stare at you in public?
I never had like an overtly like weird like issue, I guess. But I mean, like, one time Dakota and I, we were at a Sherry's, and then like as soon as we sat down, like this old ass couple next to us was like complaining about like mixed race couples, and I was like, oh, how old are you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like whatever. But it didn't really bother me because I was just like, I'm just here to eat, and you're clearly on like some weird like part of history, or like you're still there. Other than that, I don't think I had any like weird experiences. I mean, like, there's been times where people think Dakota's like some dude just following me around. Poor guy. But like, I'm like, no, that's my partner. Not some rando dude. But I guess that people just don't associate us together sometimes. But
does it make you uncomfortable if you ever have like people comment, or even like if you catch someone staring or something?
I think it would definitely make me feel uncomfortable, but like I don't know what I would do in that moment. I probably wouldn't even know if they're like what they're staring at me for. Yeah. You know what I mean? It could be for like many of other reasons, but
I have definitely noticed people staring at us. Sometimes when, like, if especially if we're walking, you see two people walking together, and like that could mean anything. They're like friends, they're whatever. But if you see two people walking together, like holding hands or like holding like hooked arms or something, then like you know they're together, right? So sometimes in certain situations, I've noticed that either me or Subra might seem uncomfortable, like if we're holding hands or something together, mm-hmm. and so let go. Mm-hmm. When certain people are walking over. So especially I've noticed that with like older people, and especially like older white people, if they're walking by, we become more aware of our surroundings, because I've definitely seen people just like kind of stare or like take two looks or something when they see us together. I mean, I guess to older people, and like how kind of you were saying, like what kind of age do you live in? It's weird to them to see a blonde, white, blue-eyed girl with a tall, dark-skinned, black hair, dark eyes man. And like it's two different opposites, right, than what they're used to. So it makes me uncomfortable. I don't like it. I hate it that we can't just like necessarily walk freely all the time, mm-hmm. and like show people like we're together, like we don't have to walk separate from each other or something, just so that people can feel more comfortable, or just so that we don't have people judging us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've had people stare at us before. I don't think it's something that you can get away from, but
I got an interesting question for both of you then, because I don't think, you know what, I'm asking the questions around here, because I don't think any of these questions apply to me. But do you think then, being in your guys' relationship, that like, do you feel like your partner, like in a sense, kind of like fetishized you in a way, maybe, or at all in general, like how your partner's like, oh, I'm dating a white girl, or like a European girl, or like, you know how like Asians are always Asian girls, or women
is
are always
Dakota a weeboo? is that what you're getting at?
But for, I don't know, Asians, but in general, Asian boo?
Asian boo? I don't know, Dakota. No, actually, like when we first started dating, mm-hmm. I was like hella into like social justice, but also really annoying about it. So like I like interrogated him. I was just like, do you think Asian women are submissive, as I'm yelling at him? But I mean, like, I hope he doesn't, mm-hmm. because it's been 5 years. but I mean, like, I guess like dating with other people, like I think they, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like sometimes like they won't even acknowledge like that there's an issue there, mm-hmm. that there are some weeboos who do fetishize Asian girls, you know, mm-hmm, what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or they kind of like put me in the stereotypical box or something, mm-hmm. like that. I mean, clearly, but like, I feel like Dakota doesn't do that. That's mm-hmm. why like we're still together. Mm-hmm, but I've definitely have seen that before. Some people might accuse me of like only dating only dating white guys or something like that too. Because of like that stereotype, which is like, I don't know. I don't want to like explain myself all the time,
you know what I mean,
about it, but they're like, but I don't know. It is what it is. But mm-hmm. How about you, Andrea?
So my answer to the question, fetish, no. However, he has a preference. And I've asked him about this before. I asked, especially because I asked him, why did you choose me, a blonde white girl? Like, mm-hmm. out of all people that you could have liked, you liked me, and you decided to approach me. And I asked him because I was like, you know, there's like a lot of beautiful, I'm not saying that white girls aren't beautiful, but there's a lot of beautiful women out there with melanin, you know, nice skin and everything. And I'm like, you know, you could have like ended up with someone else. And he was like, well, his reasoning as to why he's attracted to blonde white girls and redhead girls, and his reasoning to that is because I really wanted to know. And so I asked him, and he said that he grew up in a very white community, mm-hmm. so that's what he was used to seeing. What he was used to seeing around mm-hmm. him and interacting with. So, and I've heard this from a lot of other people too. They grew up in a very white community. I have friends who, again, they grew up in a very white community, and so that stereotype of Asian girls like white guys mm-hmm. is not true, because they grew up in such a white community that that's all they've seen, like, mostly around them is all these white guys, and like everyone is like loving these white guys. There's these white girls that love these white guys. There's this and that crushes in school, you know. So then I feel like for him, that's what it became to be. Lots of people will say about me that, like, oh, I have a fetish, or, like, I have a thing for darker-skinned guys. Again, for me, I feel like it's because I grew up in a more diverse community, and more people that I've been friends with are of minority races, and in my school and such, I tend to, I guess, get attracted to other people who don't necessarily look like me. I also don't want to date a Romanian. I don't want to marry a Romanian. I don't want anything to do with my people. So I'm okay with it. I mean, I grew up with so many other cultures around me, so I feel like I just embrace other cultures more openly. I don't go out seeking for them. Mm-hmm. I think that's the big thing here, is he doesn't go out seeking for girls that look like me, and I don't go out seeking for guys that look like him. Mm-hmm. It's just what we've grown up with and are used to. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, now when I, like, remember it, it's like, I don't think, like, Dakota ever, like, he, like, you know, he dated other people of other race before. I think I'd be concerned if he only dated Asian girls. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just like,
there's definitely people out there with fetishes.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'd be kind of concerned. But like, I don't know, his mom is kind of funny, because I think she like, she kind of romanticizes us a bit, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. kind of just like, oh, like she doesn't, like, we're not like crazy close, but like, I guess like the beginning she was like, oh, Andy is like super like type A, like a beautiful Asian lady who just like came out of nowhere. But like, I was like the biggest bum in like the whole world. So it's like, he had like really no basis for that, but I'll take it. So it's just, I don't know. And I think like his sisters also kind of felt the same way too. Kind of like a little bit of like romanticization of like, he's dating someone different. But
question number four, what compromises did you have to make?
I feel like, I guess compromises, I feel like it's like a small elephant in the room that Dakota does not only date Asian girls. Like, that's kind of just like, I'll throw it out there once and for all, ending it all on camera. I guess I feel like Dakota made a lot more compromises than I did, because I grew up like Americanized, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's not like I came in and I was just like so confused by all the dishes or anything. Mm-hmm. Dakota actively learns how to like eat Vietnamese food, like make the salad rolls and like eat with your hands, and like he already knew how to use chopsticks, so that made it easy. And like, I guess like differences in like there's like just like some cultural differences. I can't even explain it. Like, we have to act a little different around my around my family, like especially with like my grandparents isn't there and stuff. But yeah, I think he had to make more compromises than I did, or make more changes.
I guess compromises for us, I mean, he hasn't met my family yet. I haven't met his family yet. That pertains to our next question. But since he's Nepali, not all Nepali people are Hindu, but his family is Hindu. And because of that, he doesn't eat beef or pork, and he doesn't drink. And so he took this decision upon himself. There are other Nepali people that will have some of those things and still hold on to their belief, but he's just taken it more seriously. So lots of my dishes, Romanian dishes that are like meat-based, are pork and beef, and so he can't eat any of these dishes. So if I've ever made dishes for him, I always do with like a meat substitute. But I know like he's not getting like the actual dish, like this is what the actual dish tastes like. Also, like if we ever hang out with people or something, he'll usually be like the DD, right? So other people will be like drinking and stuff, and then he'll just be the one. So he's made compromises before where if we hang out or go out with friends, or friends want to go out like dancing or something, he'll say like, oh yeah, I can go, but he's not having the same experience as other people. So I guess in that term, like, yeah, we've made compromises like that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Again, I think with me, there's not really much. I think, honestly, the only big difference is just that I feel like I grew up with the culture more than she did, because I had a lot more of, like, the cultural presence compared to when she, like, how when she was raised here in Oregon. So I think the only compromises I would have to make is, like, sometimes she doesn't enjoy the food. I mean, again, going back to food, it's just the food. She doesn't enjoy certain things that I make, or, like, you know... You know what? I get it. If you won't eat the chicken feet with me, or the pork blood, whatever. Yeah. But that's honestly about it, though.
I guess our next question. This one's a little more personal, but how does your family feel about your partner's race?
Well, like Dakota's not the first white guy that got married into the family, so. So, lucky him. but I think they're pretty, like, I guess it's never really been, like, a huge issue. Like, but at least, like, on my mom's side, they don't really seem to make, like, that much of an effort to, like, accommodate for, like, the other group of white men in the family. Like, they're just like, yeah, we're going to keep eating with our hands and keep eating these rolls, and you're just going to have to figure it out. Like, we're not going to make them for you. But like, I'm sure they're fine with it. They haven't told me otherwise, but, yeah, I guess like, I know like there's some families that they do like a huge emphasis, like you have to date a Vietnamese guy. Mm-hmm. Like my mom didn't think she'd ever marry a white guy. And, when she was growing up until she moved to the US.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I know there's like some families that are like huge emphasis, like you have to be like dating like, you know, a Vietnamese person, but that's never been our family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for my family, no one of a different, like, culture or race has been in my family before. Everyone stayed Romanian. My family does not know about my partner, but, I have decided to keep it that way, just because I'm a little more worried on how my parents will... I am worried about how my parents will react when they find out about him. Mostly because I know that they've said before, like, it doesn't matter like what culture he is or whatever, but I know it to them it does matter, because I've heard other times them complain. Mm-hmm. They'd rather him be Romanian or like Moldovan or something, so that way they can speak to him in Romanian. They don't have to try to express themselves in English, or so that he can understand the culture. They've said many times like, oh, like I feel like you're gonna lose your Romanian culture or whatever if you're gonna be with someone else, and you have to integrate into their culture and you're gonna have to make compromises. And they brought up all kinds of like examples of Romanian women who have like mixed cultures with other men before, and then like it turned out bad for them or whatever. And so that's what I'm worried about. I'm also worried about them finding out that he's of a different religion. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing for them. And they say like how I'm going to lose my belief in my religion and how I'm going to have to compromise to take into his. And I was like, not necessarily. So I think those are the two biggest things that I'm worried about with my parents. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what would bother them. But in terms of him, his family doesn't, he's asked his parents, like if they're okay with knowing that like, he's dating this white girl. And they said that they don't necessarily care, it's his choice, but as long as he doesn't let the rest of their family or other Nepali people know, because they will complain and they will say, oh, you should be with a Nepali girl, you should, you know.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting, but I think the reason why his parents are more open to it is because they both studied abroad in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So they've already been exposed to U.S. culture before since they were young, and they moved here and everything, and they had a bigger education, a higher education, versus my parents grew up on farms and stuff, and they lived in Romania, and they immigrated here, and they're still very traditional. They still keep on to, like, very traditional thoughts and beliefs and stuff, so I see the two differences. I hope in the future people can be more open-minded, but yeah.
I can see that, though. So your parents don't know about him yet?
No, don't.
How long you guys been dating?
3 years at the end of this month.
So 3 whole years your parents still don't
That's
know?
That's why we have two Andreas on this podcast. Gotta mix them up.
Yeah, you gotta make one has one experience, one has a different.
You don't know which one's actually...
Let it be acknowledged that Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon is located within the traditional homelands of the Marys River or Ampinefu Band of Kalapuya.
Following the Willamette Valley Treaty of 1855, Kalapuya people were forcibly removed to reservations in western Oregon.
Today, living descendants of these people are a part of the Confederate tribes of Grand Ronde Community of Oregon and the Confederate Tribes of the Siletz Indians. The host of this podcast includes paid student employees from the Asian and Pacific Cultural Center. However, all views expressed in this podcast are solely of those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent the opinions of the Asian and Pacific Cultural Center or Oregon State University. This podcast was not subject to prior review or approval of professional staff.